You are listening to After Hours at the Radio Book Club, a special edition broadcast live from the Jaipur Literature Festival happening at the Boulder Public Library. It's a collaboration between KGNU and the Boulder Bookstore. Arsene Kashkashian, the head buyer at the bookstore, joining us as well, as always my co-host. And Shoikat Majumdar is one of the panelists at JLF, and you're an author, you're a teacher, and now you are a JLF alum. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
You're teaching creative writing, and we're going to talk about your own work in just a sec, sure. But you've taught creative writing, obviously, in India. And here in the US, you're a fellow?
I'm a fellow at the Newhouse Center at Wellesley College. I'm just a fellowship to finish my new book. It's a new novel, so I'm finishing that up. But I am setting up a creative writing program at Ashoka University in Delhi. It's the first university creative writing program in India. And it's been quite amazing because Delhi is a wonderful place to have a writing program because there's so much publishing and media is focused there and there's some amazing writers.
There's such an amazing legacy of literature coming out of India. That's interesting to me that there isn't a creative writing program at one of the major universities yet.
Yeah, which is probably not a bad thing because I have a mixed feelings about whether creative writing should be professionalized. It can become a kind of mechanical thing. So we think of it as a space where writers come together to talk about their work. But I don't think it can be truly professionalized. It is a safe space for writers, and I think what I tell my students is it's about making your writing go from the therapeutic to the effective. Like, you write not kind of the diary entry where you vent your anger and love and romance, to writing something that means something to somebody else, and that transition is very key. And that, I think, is really exciting, you know, for writers. So hopefully, you know, we'll get that along. And yet I don't see a program which produces kind of cookie cutter dialogues about like voice and narrative and things like that. It shouldn't just be about that. I don't want like work which is soulless but perfect. But there should be that rawness, that vulnerability, that messiness. And I hope a creative writing program doesn't tame all of that, but it keeps that wild, that wilderness. But still, you know, I think writing is a very sort of solitary thing. It can be very isolating. And it's a good thing for writers to come together and talk about what it means to write. And very importantly, read. Like, if you know how to read, I think there's a lot of talk about reading makes you a better writer. I don't think that's true. I don't think reading makes you a better writer. Reading makes you a better reader, which I think is very important for a writer. You know when your work is any good. So when you write, you can be a good judge of your work. So these are some of the things we're trying to accomplish in a creative writing program.
What was your own pathway into creative writing if they didn't have these programs in India when you were coming up through the university system?
Right. Well, I did an MFA in the US. Then I did a PhD in literature. And the MFA experience, I did it in Ohio, and it was kind of a bitter experience, really, because people didn't really understand where I was coming from. But there's something about exposing yourself every week to a group of writers, and it's kind of making yourself naked. It's like sort of stripping bare. And sometimes they say in the workshop, don't listen to what people say, listen to how they say it. Look at their faces, look at their body language. And that did something to me. I think after 2 years of that, that really worked. But I think for me, writing has been, John Updike, I think, said this really well, it's not something you learn, you unlearn. I think for me, it's kind of an uphill battle to go from the intellectual to the visceral. I think my first novel was very intellectual, it was abstract. My last novel, which has sort of given me most visibility, is really a raw and bodily experience. There's something bare about it. There's nothing intellectual about it. It's really very sort of brutal. And that was for me a process of unlearning, which I think a lot of postmodern and modern fiction has kind of made us more abstract. And I'm kind of trying to move away from all that.
It's interesting to hear you say that. It's, you know, I think we start off as children, people, as you grow up, you start off in that visceral bodily experience. And then through schooling and through socialization and culturalization, you start intellectualizing everything. And then you're saying your path to success was in some ways to get back to what we all have within us naturally, but be able to express it on the page.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, for me, the way to capture that was to go back to childhood. So I was just on a panel on cultural appropriation, and I was talking about how to inhabit something that is not yourself. And for me, that has been going back to childhood. So my last novel was about the Firebird here in the US. It's called Playhouse. It's about this boy's obsession with his mother's life in theater. And theater and prostitution, how the moral judgments were about himself, and how he develops this brutal obsession with the art form of theater because it's such a visceral art form. And for me, that was really important, to go back to something that is raw and visceral. And for me, it was truly a process of unlearning, because I wrote a book on Irish literature, on world literature in English, about Joyce, and all that is fascinating because it's very clever. And I think writing is not about being clever. It's about what, I think Eliot puts it really well. It's about, you know, like, it's something which fuses the intellectual, the visceral, like the smell of cooking, reading Spinoza, falling in love, the sound of typewriter. Like, everything has to come together, and that complete experience. And for me, it's like a bizarre reversal. You're absolutely right. It's a reversal to go back to something we inherit naturally, because our schooling, exactly as you said it, pushes in a different direction.
Your novel, Playhouse, is in the process of being turned into a screenplay?
Yes.
What is that like for you as an author? I mean, do you have to just let go and go, bid thee good luck on your journey to this next medium? Or do you try to control that process as much as you can? I mean, because it's going to be quite different as a film.
Yes. Well, I'm very privileged to have a director who is very passionate about the book. He doesn't feel anything needs to be changed. And he keeps asking me, I don't know anything about film writing. I'd never written a screenplay, so I kind of want to wash my hands of this. But what's both exciting and depressing about this is the moment, it was a Facebook post. It's like suddenly I'm flooded by all these media queries about, oh, what's this? It's like the book didn't matter. Now that the film is happening, now everybody's interested in it. And well, the director doesn't want to talk about it, so it's like we are still hush about it. We're not going to do it. But I think I was always told that the book was a very, because it's about theater, there was an element of performance about it, that it is very cinematic. And I've been told that my writing is cinematic, that I imagine scenes. There's not a lot of like, okay, 5 years passed, this happened. That's kind of abstracted narrative. It's more about they walked in, they saw this, they felt it. So it's already kind of cinematic, and there are a lot of theater scenes in the play. Because it's about theater, it talks about Antigone, it talks about A Streetcar Named Desire, it talks about a lot of Bengali plays. So there are a lot of scenes of that, and it's also about like the opening sequence, which I read out yesterday. It's about this boy, 5-year-old boy, who actually sees his mother die on stage. And she's dying, and he's terrified by this death because he thinks she's really dying. And then his father takes him to the green room, and she's alive. And she has this wig on her head, and she still hasn't changed. And he's standing there, and he's like, and he's happy, but he's also betrayed that you died. But here you are in this green room, the smelling of cigarette, there are these lights, all these things. So this amazing thing, and this is actually taken from my life, because my mother was an actress, and I actually have a memory of seeing her on stage dying, and I remember the terror, and the terror was the seed of this novel. And I think that sense, filmmakers, it's always been approached by filmmakers that that's something which will capture, come alive on screen. So I think that's what's happening now.
Well, sounds like they're right. I mean, it sounds like this is going to be great scenes for a movie. What do you get out of coming to a conference like this, the JLF, with, you know, there's dozens of authors here? What, as an author, what's the value in it for you?
Well, I get to talk to so many people, and I think it's great that it's happening in Boulder, because I was just talking about this to somebody outside, that I think I'm kind of quite tired of this whole cosmopolitan narrative about literature being in New York, London, Delhi, all this. And I think it's kind of, Boulder is still pretty cosmopolitan, but I still think it's relatively provincial, that I'm meeting all these Boulder authors who've written like 20 books, but I've never read them, but it's really local. And I think I'm also like that. I'm a Calcutta writer, I write about. Like, I travel all over the world, but in some ways, growing up as a writer, it's been my capture to attempt the most provincial part of myself. And when I come to Colorado, I see that these are not writers who are just living in the village and writing in the New Yorker, and, you know, just there's something very local about it, and that is very gratifying. And I see this audience, which is amazing. I mean, JLF in Jaipur, I spoke there last year. It's amazing. It's like 1,000 people in your audience. But there, it's like become a tourist thing. It's like people come to show up their winter fashion and all that. But here, it's a very dedicated audience. It's an older audience, but they're very involved in the discussion. And it's very eclectic. So there are a lot of writers who haven't read each other. It's not part of a clique. It's very messy in a way. But I think, you know, we need to have festivals in sort of offbeat locations, in provincial locations, so that we really get a sense of what literature is like outside the metropolitan space.
The fact that it's in a public library as well, I mean, it really is trying to engage the community. You could have folks just wandering by and saying, hey, this is something. You don't have to make a special journey to get to the festival.
Yes, absolutely. Public libraries are one of the most amazing things in America. I mean, my daughter turned 7 this year, and we were living in Palo Alto till last year. And I should take her to the Palo Alto library, and she just, it's not a culture which is very strong in India. It's all very, if you're literary, you live in the kind of private sphere, private corporate, privately funded thing. But I think the Boulder, it's an amazing library. There's so much. It's a huge library, and everybody knows about it. And I think it's connected to the culture of book clubs, which is kind of for an academic, somebody who teaches at a university, that to know this space exists where people are passionate about books, but not in an academic way, but that they want to. And when the audience asks questions, it's also very personal. Like somebody at the appropriation panel asks a question about memoir. Like, it's about what does it mean to become other? And so the question about what does it mean to write about a self is so essential. So people are really intense, and I also notice it's kind of interesting. It's a very white audience. And so just the last panel we were on with cultural appropriation, there was, you know, somebody, a black writer from Australia, a black writer from Colorado, you know, a Native American writer, myself. And it's quite amazing, you know, the interest to see the audience. I think somebody said that's really interesting how the audience and the podium has changed. And I think you cannot escape the poignancy of that given the current government, current administration in the US. It's quite amazing.
Well, Shaikat Majumdar, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here and pleasure to talk to you.